This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105
Radio. You'd think as a grown man I'd be able to manage a file of fax and a pencil, wouldn't you? But it would appear that I managed to put the wrong date and time, well, certainly the wrong time, in the diary for my studio guest, Jenny Chapman. Hey, Jenny, good afternoon.
Hi, Neil.
And I'm so sorry about that. That was my fault completely. I was expecting you at 2:30. I can't seem to write in my own diary. So, do you use a paper diary or are you
not
a digital woman?
No, not really. No.
Yeah, I've avoided it as much as I can. Yeah. I think I might have to revisit that, though. Anyway, you're here now. Most people will know you, of course, from the Cambridge News. Just remind us about that.
Ooh, well, I was just telling you, Neil, that I was there for 20 years and I only went 6 months. So now it's stretched into 20 years. And I retired last year. And I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I mean, you wrote across a range of things. You were business editor at the end of it.
You couldn't have a better place than Cambridge to be a business editor.
I was going to say.
At this time.
And amongst all that, you must have interviewed some of the big names and some of the big players, some of the new technologies that were coming through.
Amazing stuff that changed the world. I mean, they used to have that as their strap line, Cambridge ideas changed the world, and they did.
Yeah.
And continue to do.
Which was your favourite? I mean, this isn't what you're in to talk about, but what was your favourite one?
My favourite one?
Yeah.
Well, I loved the ARM story. You know, they came out of Acorn when Acorn was going bust, and they camped in an old barn. I think there were about 9 of them, and lived sort of hand to mouth. And ARM, look at it now.
Look at it now.
You know,
there's an ARM billion
chip
or something
in every single mobile phone in the world.
It can't be bad, can it? Did all right in the end, then, didn't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, so you retired from the Cambridge News, and to all intents and purposes, right? Was that it? What did you decide to do next? Then I've trailed this as you fell foul of daytime television.
I did. I have to admit, I was quite frightened of retiring because I was so keen on my job. I thought, oh dear, you know, what am I going to do? But then, shortly before I was due to retire, I had a problem with my leg, which became more and more troublesome until I was screaming up the wall with it. And it turned out to be a problem in my back.
Ah.
So I had an operation, but it kept me indoors for quite a long time. And I started watching daytime telly.
Oh, Jenny, that's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Gloriously stuffed full of programmes about antiques. And I started watching these programmes and I thought, I could do that. I could have a go at that. I've always liked antiques, and
but we all watch those programmes, and to be honest, we all think I could do that. But you actually did. Had you had any interest in antiques before?
Yes, I've always been interested in them.
Ah,
yeah, and but never thought in terms of trading. But then I thought, well, this is something I could have a go at, and it is tremendous fun.
So how did you pitch it? I mean, because you watch these programmes, and it does worry me a little bit. It's, well, you know, you've been out there, and you've found this ashtray, and you've purchased it for £10, and it sells at auction for £13. I mean, did you aim at that level, or are you looking for the old masters and the Chinese pottery?
Well, I think I would be very lucky to find an old master or a piece of ancient Chinese pottery, and at this stage of the game, I probably wouldn't recognise certainly the pottery. But you do learn all the time by watching those programmes, and also the people I meet in antiques are so helpful.
Really?
They're really nice, helpful people. And I've got 3 places where I rent space. One down the road here in Gwydir Street, one at St Ives up the road, and one at Downham Market.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So when you started, as we were saying, you know, you're talking about old masters and things like that. Did you decide on a particular thing? Did you say, right, I'm going to do ceramics or
toys?
Toys.
Yeah.
Oh, that must be great fun, and probably something everybody in their own way is an expert at.
Well, toys are just so charming. You whatever you're looking for in an antique shop, you see a really old toy, you stop and look at it and think, oh, that's rather nice. And I realised I'd have to do general stuff for a while until I could build up enough stock of toys, but I'm getting there. And I found... shall I tell you about my favourite finds?
Please do, come on.
Oh, well, I mean, was on my...
As a toy... Come on, yeah, come on.
Honeymoon, would you believe? in a few months ago in Canada, in the Rockies, and we were driving through. In the Rockies, you drive for miles and miles, there's nothing, nobody. And suddenly there was this little sign saying antiques.
And,
drove a little way further, and there was this wonderful shack, like something lifted out of a Wild West movie, just on its own.
Real old-fashioned Klondike real old-fashioned, type thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing, and there it was. And went in there, and marvellous stuff. And I found a Steiff elephant, quite a big one.
Oh.
Which, very rare, 1950, very rare one, perfect condition. My husband spotted that one. And I also found a pair of Civil War dolls.
Goodness me.
And which actually sold in Guido Street.
Really? Now, when you find something like that, I mean, Steiff is a name. It's known around the world. Or is it? Is it popular here? Or yeah, because surely someone who's running an antique shop out there would know what they've got, wouldn't they?
Oh, I think they knew. Yeah, they did know. I mean, I paid quite a good price for it.
But you just had a better market than him in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I haven't sold that one yet. Ah. I sold the dolls, but I haven't sold elephant yet.
Oh, right.
I can hardly believe I haven't, but there we go.
So that's the thing, isn't it? How do you spot a bargain? Or is that a trade secret, or is it just something you're learning?
Well, I think the important thing is to buy things you like yourself and hope that somebody else will... I mean, that's, I think, is the thrill of it, that you choose something you like and someone else likes it as well and is prepared to pay money for it. And that's what I like.
Is it just nostalgia? Or is it that... No, there actually is some sort of craftsman element to some of these things. Or is it just... I mean, I know what I'm like about Action Man and things like that. And if I was to see, you know, a mint-condition, boxed new Action Man, especially if it was the one who had the eagle eye or something, you could look through the back, I think I'd probably wind up buying it. Or yeah. Thunderbirds. I never forgave my mum and dad. They gave away to a children's home, is what they always used to say. I'm pretty sure they all went in the skip. But I had big plastic model Thunderbirds, which I guess, yeah, you see the little ones now, the little die-cast ones. Yeah. But I had big plastic ones. And you think, is that the sort of thing that...
Oh, very collectible.
Really?
Yes, yeah.
How long should you hold on to things for? Because presumably things go in waves, don't they?
Yes, I mean, for instance... Moorcroft pottery and Troika pottery have been fetching huge prices for what they are. But I think they're just about to be on the turn and something else will come up. And the other thing that I think is interesting is the Royal Doulton crinoline ladies. Do you know the ones I mean?
I don't, but...
They are beautifully made, absolutely beautifully made, charming things, but totally out of fashion. But it depends where you are. I mean, St Ives, there are people there who do actually collect them, and they come in and empty the shelves.
So it's regional, even at that level?
It is, yeah. Aye. And I think very hard each time, even though my three places are in fairly close, but each one I feel is a different market.
And going back to those days sat in front of the television and shouting at it, going, I could do that. How close to real life is what goes on there, the auction rooms and things like that, or do you just try and stay away from those?
Well, there are lots of stories in the trade about how once the experts have gone into the shop and haggled people down to a third of the price, the production team go in and afterwards and pay the difference.
Oh, really?
And it doesn't do traders any good because, for instance, I was at St Ives on Monday and a woman came in and she found this bowl and she came up and she said... Right, what's the best you can do on that? And it was £14, I think. Mm. And we said, it's £14.
So what you see on television is all this bargain hunting isn't that at all.
You do discount things over £20 or £30 if you can afford to, but people just have watched the telly and think that they can go in and offer any old price for things.
Yes, yeah. And presumably there's a difference between what you're doing and that sort of typical car boot attitude of picking up antiques. I mean, people often say, I stumbled across this at a car boot sale, but do they? Or do you? Or is that something you try?
I think people do, and I'm ashamed to say the reason I don't is because I don't like getting up early.
All right, so what's on the plans for the future then? What would you like to do? Are there areas within toys that you'd like to start and specialise in? Or?
Well, I would like to get to the point where I can buy and sell really good examples in good condition. And I'm creeping towards that. But as you can imagine, finding them is the thing. And the auctions vary a lot. And sometimes you can pay more in auction than you pay in a shop.
Mm. So it's a risk still. It's a real gamble.
It is, yeah.
I know that I was at a talk recently where a chap from Cheffins was talking about brown furniture. Big brown.
It's coming back.
Well, you say, because it's an all-time low.
Yeah.
He was giving examples, putting up slides and saying, so here we go. Now, at this point, I'm going to sound like an idiot, so please excuse me. Here's an example. It would be like, this is a Georgian bookcase and it's, we can tell it's got sort of Chippendale legs and all this sort of stuff. And he said, and it was insured last year at £14,000. We just sold it for £450. And he was saying, you buy stuff from IKEA, which is basically made out of cornflakes. He said to me, it's not going to last you. As soon as you get it home, it's going to start to fall apart.
Yes.
He said, seriously, even if you do paint it in a sort of a National Trust Heritage sage colour or something, he said, it's a for £450, this is a proper piece of furniture.
Yes.
But he just said, the modern houses aren't built for large items, and he said the colour is a struggle. But you reckon your tip for the future is it's coming back?
I've heard that, and I have started to see it. As you probably know, there's been quite a vogue for teak of the sort that our parents' generation had, or my parents' generation had, as a sort of rebellion against all the brown furniture they probably grew up with.
Yeah.
And that the teak stuff in London, I mean, that's another example of how it varies in regions. In London, you can get big prices for those low teak sideboards. And
that sort of G-plan furniture.
G-plan.
Is that right?
Those sort of things. But I think that's, again, going to be something that will last a short time. Because you see it in all things, clothing, everything. Fashions change much more quickly now than they used to.
Mm. So would you be writing a book about this then, Jenny? Because, kind of the journalist in you is still there, I'm guessing.
Well, I don't know. I am a novelist. I've written quite a few novels.
Right.
But quite a long time ago. But they've just been reissued, which is nice.
Oh, OK.
And I am writing another one. But it's not about antiques. Maybe the next one.
It's not Lovejoy 2.
Right?
Well, listen, it's lovely to catch up with you. And as I said, when you first came into the studio, a lot of people will know you from the Cambridge News. Think, whatever happened to her? So it's lovely to know that you're still around. People will still see you in Cambridge. You're down at the bottom end of Guider Street. Are you in there fairly regularly?
I don't actually man the shop there.
Right.
I only man the shop in St Ives on Monday afternoon, if anyone wants to pop in.
Lovely. All right. And if people have got toys sitting in a cupboard, should they get a hold of you?
Oh, yes.
What sort of telephone, email? How would they? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is to email me. Yeah.
And that is?
Jenny with a Y dot Chapman at Hotmail. .co.uk.
That sounds easy enough, doesn't it? Jenny.chapman at hotmail.co.uk. I've got to quickly tell you, I remember watching a special edition of the Antiques Roadshow once, where a chap came, it was all about toys, and a chap came in and he had this model rail, an engine from a model engine, and this thing hadn't got a lick of paint left on it. It had been absolutely hammered to death, and the chap said, well, he said, me and my brother, we used to play with this an awful lot, we grew up in the 30s, we used to play with this, and the guy said, well, it's a very good make, he said, but obviously, as we can see, he said, this is an engine which has been truly loved and it's had a good life. So, but in terms of its actual value, not in this condition, it's going to be a cherished toy. And the guy then produced a wrapped parcel. He said, well, my uncle bought us two. He said, my brother and I played with this one. This one we never opened. So it's still in a brown paper parcel covered in string with the postage on it. And the guy is saying, he said, so you're telling me that in this packet there is a completely unopened one of those? He said, yeah. He said, I can't put a price on that. He said, start at £5,000, keep going. He said, put it in an auction. People would go crazy. He said, if you're telling me, it's like wine, you uncork it, it might taste like rubbish, but he said, if you're telling me that's what's in that packet, he said, my goodness. So there could be some gems out there, Jenny.
There certainly are. It's not just could be, there certainly are.
Yeah, well, keep them. And in Cambridge, stuff's in attics in Cambridge, isn't it?
Oh, loads of lovely stuff, yeah.
Bless you. Well, it's lovely. I'm so sorry I got my diary wrong. Lovely to see you. Jenny.chapman at hotmail.com.
.co.uk.
I beg your pardon. Hotmail.co.uk. If you've got toys and you'd like Jenny to take a look at them. Jenny, thank you very much indeed for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you, Neil.